children as they all shout.
There's joy in the children as they all shout.
There's joy in the day, there's joy in the night.
There's joy in the day, there's joy in the night.
There's joy in the darkness, joy in the light.
There's joy in the darkness, joy in the light.
There's joy when we dance and joy when we sing.
There's joy when we dance and joy when we sing.
There's joy when we're all worshiping.
There's joy when we're all worshiping.
All together. Some traditional Christmas songs. We really wanted to bring in the joy this morning.
Oh, Continue our worship as we focus our hearts, our minds, our thoughts in joy. Just invite you now then to watch this Advent candle video. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. With your hearts, with your mind, with your thoughts, and all that is within you, shouting aloud for joy, just invite you now to open your hands and offer to God your thanksgiving, your joy, your joyful offerings before Him. Present your offerings to the Lord Jesus Christ as we sing together, God rest ye merry gentlemen.
Verses to that song.
Is there any announcements that need to be made? Is the children gather for children's worship? All the children, the flag is up here, and would you come and follow the flag?
Of 6 and start serving our guests at about 6:15. So thank you all.
Any other announcements? I don't know if I should make an announcement, but I will. My wife and I, my wife Jan and myself, we're in the process of relocating to Orange City. We sold our house in Rock Valley and we bought a house in Orange City. And as you know, a time of transition can, with all the boxes and everything else that needs to be made, but just keep us in prayer. we just appreciate the prayers of the congregation here. But you know that we live in a world, we live in a time where there are just a lot of people who have no idea what it means to live a life of joy. They live in misery. They live in deep pain. They live in deep uncertainty. They struggle from day to day just to survive. So with all the ways in which God has blessed you, and the ways in which God has filled your life with one blessing after another, let's come to Him in a ministry of prayer. Father in heaven, it is our song, it is our prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. For Father, we know that your one and only Son was born in a stable because there was no room for him in the inn. And so, Father, we pray for all the homeless, for all of those who now live their life as a refugee, who live their life on the run, who live their life on the edge, not really assured at all, but that their life will be taken by violence of one sort or another. For those in the midst of armed conflict in the Middle East or nations around the world, we pray, Lord, for families, for mothers, for fathers, for children, for all of those who live in the very face of violence, of uncertainty and unrest. And so, Lord, we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And Father, we know, even as we sing and pray, come, Lord Jesus, we know that your one and only Son was born a stranger, was born into this world to heal and to save, to heal those who are blind and sick and lame and deaf, and to heal even those who, for whatever reason, had lost their life. And only by speaking the word was Jesus able to bring them back to life. With that very same Jesus and that very same grace and power, we pray for those now this morning that this congregation represents, for those who are sick and for those who are ill, the ones for whom we lift up before your throne in prayer that are listed in the bulletin. There are some, Lord, who face the uncertainty of living each day knowing that there is a cancer. And Father, we pray for the wisdom and for the presence of surgeons and physicians, that you would provide your healing graces and renewing strength. We pray for the Cenefes, even now in this time as they rush out to meet someone they dearly love. And Father, we surround them, we lift them up in our prayers. And Father, we pray that your presence will be with them so close and so near. We pray for those that we love, for Charlene. We add our prayers to her, Father, that again you may provide renewing grace and healing strength. And Father, for all of those that are represented in this congregation, represented in brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers, uncles and aunts, extended families, those we love, those we cherish. Father, you know that every one of us gathered in worship here this morning knows a life story where joy has been stolen, where there is no joy. And so there are families here this morning, there are persons here this morning, Father, that desperately look for your blessing of joy. Just for that crazy little grin to know that you have heard our prayers, that with the presence of Jesus Christ, that you have come to this earth to bring joy, your joy, your joy that you have planted in us, your joy, O Christ, that you desire to make perfect and complete. And Father, we give you thanks for the children here this morning, for time that you give them now, in vacation from school and in the Christmas break. And we pray, Father, that in all the activities, in all that belongs to a Christmas celebration, that you may bless each child and bless each one in high school, a young son, a young daughter, in all the ways in which they are discovering for themselves what it means to be created in the very image of God. Lord, bless them. And bless those who are in institutions of higher learning, the sons and daughters that leave our homes and go off to discover for themselves your calling to kingdom service. Father, we pray your blessing upon them, and we ask that you follow them with your grace, with your mercy, with your peace, with your love. But Father, we pray for this congregation and all that they are doing to serve you in your kingdom, and all that they are doing in the jobs and the positions and the vocations to which you have called them. May they be your instruments of joy in a broken world, in a culture that so desperately is seeking for joy. But Father, we lay ourselves now before your throne. For now we come to you ourselves, as mothers, as fathers, as children, as young people. We come to you individually. And you know where we hurt. You know where we are wounded. You know where there is a presence of pain. Father, you even know every secret of our hearts, and you know where there are just the shadows of shame. Things that have taken place in our life that still embarrass us, that we are still ashamed of. Things that we just hope that no one else ever learns, ever knows about, ever discovers. And yet, oh Father, there's nothing we can hide from you. You know everything about us. You know everything that there is. And so we lay ourselves before your presence, O Holy Father. And we pray that you not hide your face from us, or that we, in our shame, run and hide from you. Father, hear our prayers. And in this Christmas season, fill us full with the fullness of your joy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If I could ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. To the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. It's a story that I want to hold before you this morning, a story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. It's a beautiful story because it's a story not only ancient, not only a couple thousand years old, but a story that lives again in our own time. The story is even represented here among you this morning. In Luke chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading with verse 39. If you just have your Bibles open, just glance across the page to Luke 1, verse 25. Elizabeth, an old woman, is pregnant by a miracle of God's grace. I want to draw your attention to that later on, but I just want you to know that that's important detail as we begin to read now in verse 39 of Luke chapter 1. Mary's just been told that she's going to have a child, and that the child that she will bear will be the Son of God, will be the Messiah, will be the Christ child, and his name will be Jesus. At that time, then, in verse 39, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said, what the Lord has said to her, will be accomplished." Keep your Bibles open to that passage. I want to ask you, have you ever done anything in your life or ever said anything that really embarrassed you? Or something you said, something you did, that others began to point the finger and really teased you about, really made fun of you, and really made you feel very, very, very small? So small, you wanted to crawl into a hole and just not let the world see how dumb, how stupid you had been. I can remember when I was younger, a few years younger, playing sports and playing softball, and I can still remember one guy running around the bases and running towards home, and he slid. And he stopped about 3 feet short of home plate. He was embarrassed, he was ashamed, and he felt like he could crawl into a hole. But maybe you kids went to school one day, and all of a sudden you realized you were wearing a pair of mismatched socks. Or maybe you went to the office, and you looked down at your shoes, and you're wearing a pair of shoes that are not the same. Or you're eating dinner at a business meeting, at a very professional business meeting, and you're sitting there talking with your other colleagues around a business table, and dumb, you spill a glop of ketchup on your tie, on your shirt, on your blouse. Or you're having a very elegant dinner with your friends and at a very elegant restaurant, and you're talking away, just enjoying the evening, and dumb, you spill a whole bowl of soup on your lap. Have you ever done anything dumb that really embarrassed you, that really made you feel ashamed and full of disgrace? There's a lot of ways in which we try to avoid shame and disgrace. I didn't do it. He did. She did. It's not my responsibility. Or even something like this. I don't care a rat's whisker for what other people think about me. love the ways in which we try to manage shame, deal with shame in our life. Maybe out of stubborn rebelliousness. Those who feel so have such a low self-esteem, they're just stubbornly determined to break every rule there is. I don't like who I am, and I don't want anybody else to like who I am. I'm going to break all the rules, and I'm just going to make sure no one likes me. Or the other extreme. I don't want anyone to think bad of me. I'm going to follow every rule. I'm going to dot every I, cross every T. I'm just going to make certain that there's nothing in my life that other people will make fun of. If your Bibles, take a look at Luke 1, verse 25. Elizabeth is an old woman. And all her life, she and her husband have been praying for a child. All their life. And Elizabeth lived in a culture, lived in a time when that if you were not able to give birth to a child, you were just a nobody. And everyone made you feel like you were on the bottom of the totem pole. You were on the bottom edge of society. You were just worth nothing. There was nothing about you that was significant. You were just made to feel ashamed of who you were. And the angel comes to Zechariah and Elizabeth and says, "You're going to have a child." And Zechariah says, "Yeah, right. Tell me another." The angel said, "No, you're going to have a child. Just as a sign to you, you'll not be able to speak now until the child is born. But I want you to enter the thoughts of Elizabeth in Luke 1, verse 25. She knows she's pregnant with a child. She says, and just imagine her whispering for joy, "The Lord has done this. He has taken away my disgrace from among the people." Can you imagine her joy? The Lord has done this. I am finally a woman that no one else will make fun of. My joy. Elizabeth will no longer be considered a nobody, the bottom of the edge of society, no longer considered to be a person of no worth, no significance. But more than that, Elizabeth will no longer have to hide from others in shame. And you know the stories all throughout Scripture. In Genesis chapter 3, that story when Adam and Eve disobey God, and all of a sudden they hear God coming and walking in the garden. And Adam and Eve run and hide. And God says, "Where are you?" And Adam says, "God, we heard you walking. We were afraid and we hid because we were naked. We were ashamed." Or that wonderful story in Exodus chapter 3 where Moses had done something that he was ashamed of. He had killed someone. And now he's running for his life, and for 40 years, he's been walking in the desert, this prince of Egypt. 40 years now asking the question, "Who am I? All the education I've had, all the training, all the skills, all the abilities I've had, here I am now a shepherd in the desert. Who am I? What am I doing?" All of a sudden, he sees a strange sight, this bush. It's burning. And Moses says, "I got to go see this." And he comes to the bush, and God says to Moses, "Moses, no. Moses, take your shoes off. For the ground where you are standing is holy ground." And all of a sudden, Moses realizes that he's in the presence of a holy God. And he hides his face. You can go all throughout the stories of the scripture. Every time God comes close, every time God comes near to someone, they run and they hide. In Isaiah chapter 6, in the misery of the world and the misery of God's people, Isaiah suddenly fears the angels calling out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And the only way Isaiah can respond is, "Oh God, I have seen his face and I am undone." Elizabeth will no longer have to hide from others in her shame, for now she is pregnant with a child. But I want you to see something more that maybe you've had something in your life that you've been ashamed of. Maybe you fell over a chair at school and all the other kids started laughing. Or you slipped on the ice. Or you did something dumb. Or maybe there's something that you can remember in your life that you did that you still are ashamed of. And you know it's there. And maybe all your life you have prayed to God, "Lord, just take away my shame, my disgrace." But no matter how much you've prayed, the guilt, the shame just stays there. Now we go to verse 41, Luke chapter 1. Mary runs to Elizabeth. And as soon as Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, the baby in the womb of Elizabeth leaps for joy. And Elizabeth shouts aloud. And again, I want you to enter the thoughts, that emotion of Elizabeth. For she knows that because of this unborn child in Mary's womb, that we will no longer be considered as those who are dead in sin. As Paul says in Romans 6, verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Or as Paul says in Ephesians 2, once you were dead in your sins, but now you are made alive. It's that moment that we realize that our sin, our guilt, always produces within us feelings of shame and embarrassment. Whenever God comes close, whenever he comes near, it's our tendency to run and hide. We don't want anyone, and including God, to know what's really going on in our hearts, in our minds. But what if? What if God in all his holiness could come close? That in all his holiness, rather than exposing our unholiness, our guilt and our shame, what if there was some way that God could come close? And rather than running away and hiding, that we would shout aloud like Elizabeth, "Oh God, thank you. Thank you. Welcome to my life. Welcome. I'm glad you're here." Because in the life of Elizabeth, in her situation, you probably know what that means in her life. What it means that something other than just the other things, the things in our life that other people notice and make fun of, that there's something even deeper and more profound, which is our sin and guilt in the very presence of our God. That it is Job who asks that haunting question in Job 9. Oh God, how can a man, how can I be righteous before you? And then Job asks this, has this kind of a haunting thought. He says, God, even if I would scrub myself clean and wash myself clean as best I could, you would still dump me on the garbage heap. There's nothing I can do to make myself presentable before you. Or as Paul says in Romans, you know, the things that I know I ought to do, I don't. And the things I know I should do, those are the things that I know I should not do, those are the things I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. I'm just filled with shame. I don't know what to do. But then he answers himself, thanks be to God. But she rejoices that because of this unborn child in Mary's womb, we no longer will have to hide from God in guilty shame. If you have your Bibles, take a look with me once in Exodus chapter 19. Begin with verse 16. Exodus 19, verse 16. You know the Ten Commandments, the way that God, that we hear those almost every day of our life in one way or another. You shall not have any other gods, and all the other commands. I think there's something that we often forget about or do not realize with the Ten Commandments. That when God comes to his people on Mount Sinai, he comes and the mountain of Sinai is thundering. There's thunder and lightning and there's a sound of loud trumpets. It's so loud and it's so noisy and it's so awesome. In Exodus chapter 20, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, the people see the lightning, they hear the thunder, they hear the voice of God speaking to Moses. Moses, you talk with God. Don't let God speak to us. Don't let God come too close to us. For if God comes close to us, if God speaks with us, we will die. That's really the story of humanity. So when Luke writes the story of Elizabeth, this story, this beautiful story here in Luke chapter 1, that when Mary comes to visit Elizabeth, and somehow Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, knows that the unborn child in Mary's womb is the very Messiah, the Christ child. She rejoices. She shouts aloud, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. There's a verse in the book of Colossians that I just want to hold in front of you. The joy of those who know that in all our unholiness and our sin and guilt, that our tendency was to run and hide from God. But Paul says, no, now it's all changed. For Christ has been born and you are now hidden, not in sin and guilt, but you are hidden in Christ. But there's something more in this story that I think now applies to your own life, to where you are in your relationship to God. And I want you to notice this, that as soon as the sound of Mary's voice reached the ears of Elizabeth, The baby in Elizabeth's womb jumped for joy. There's something awesome about that. That leap of joy in the womb of Elizabeth is the first hint of good news for those who are weary of living in the land of dark gloom, of guilt and shame. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb, says Elizabeth, that baby in my womb leaped for joy, and she's filled with the Holy Spirit. So Elizabeth is saying, I'm led, I've been inspired to tell the whole world. by the very presence of the Holy Spirit that baby in my womb leaped for joy. Now if you have your Bibles, that's really the same thing that the angel says to Zechariah in verse 14 and 15 of Luke 1. Zechariah, the baby you will have will be a great delight to you, will be a joy, and will be filled with the Holy Spirit even in the womb. Now, as I reflected upon that, I see my own life in there. Living in the darkness of the womb. Living in the darkness of a world. Not able to see the light of day. But now notice that it's the Holy Spirit who already regenerates that unborn child in Elizabeth's womb and causes that unborn child in Mary's womb to jump for joy. That is the first hint of regeneration, of being born again before you are born. Born again before you are born. Now, in all of that, the leap of joy by this unborn child continues to be the glad response of those who rejoice in the joy that Mary's child is a Savior, that He is Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one who saves us from our sin and shame. Just as you prepare to come to the Lord's table this morning, I want you to reflect upon your heart, your thoughts, your life walk with God. Notice what Isaiah 53, verse 4 and verse 6 says, surely this Messiah, this Jesus, the one who will come into the world, takes up all our infirmities, our weaknesses, the places in our life where we stumbled and fell, things in our life that have brought shame and embarrassment, things in our life that we just wanted to run and hide and crawl into a hole. Now, says the Bible, says the Word of God, He took up all our infirmities. He took up all our sins. He took up all our iniquity. And all our iniquity and all our infirmities was placed upon Him, and He took them all away. So I stand here with Elizabeth this morning, and I want to shout for joy that there's nothing in my life in which I need to stand before God and say, God, I am just filled with shame. Oh, unworthy I am to stand in your presence. I just want to run and hide. I want to stand there with Elizabeth this morning. Blessed are you, O woman among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. And I look around us in a dark world. In a world in which there's so much violence, again, violence in New York City, two policemen being killed by those who want to take revenge upon the killing of others, the death of others. And as I read the news of the world, I want to say, where will it all end? Revenge upon revenge upon revenge. Violence upon violence upon violence. But I want to bring it into the life of you kids as well. You know how we can be so mean and so cruel to one another? Maybe you know what it means to be laughed at because you're too short, you're too tall, you're too much like a nerd. You can't run very fast or whatever. The world around us, that's their intent to make us feel small and worthless. Because by so doing, they can make themselves supposedly more worthy and more significant, but it never works that way. So we come to the birth of Jesus. But now there's something that Jesus says. that I want you to take home with you today, this morning. For Jesus then is born, and he lives and walks among us. And he takes our infirmities, and he takes our sin, he takes our guilt to the cross. And he forgives us of everything that is displeasing to God. But this is what Jesus says in John 15. And I just find this incredible. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. I mean, just look at yourself. Now look at myself. How can you love me? You know who I am. How is it possible that you could love me? Jesus said, the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. But now take this home. But Jesus says, I have told you this, not to make you feel guilty, not to make you feel full of shame and embarrassment, but I have told you this that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. So how's it going in your life? Dragging your feet around? Dragging your sins around? Come to the table. Take the bread and take the cup and let Christ, by his Holy Spirit, cause not the baby in your womb, but cause your heart to leap with joy. Oh, God. Oh, God. This is so, so good. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, there's a lot of things in our life. A lot of rubble. A lot of brokenness. A lot of pain, a lot of hurt. But by your grace, it no longer matters. When you tell us that you want to fill us full with the fullness of your joy. And so we sing and pray. We sing and pray day after day after day. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Yes, come, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Invite you in your heart, in your thoughts, in your mind to come before the Lord, come before the table of the Lord now, and just follow along on the screen as we come to the table. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God. With joy we praise you, gracious God. For you have created heaven and earth, you have made us in your image, and you have kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came among us as the Word made flesh to show us your glory, full of grace and truth. Let's stand and say together our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. And together with one voice, in great joy we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and when buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. I come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We give thanks to God the Father that our Savior Jesus Christ gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until he comes again. For the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He broke it and said, this is my body given for you. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. O Lord, our God, send your Holy Spirit upon us, that all who eat and drink at this table may be one body and one holy people, a living sacrifice to the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, amen. In unity with Christians everywhere, let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord has prepared his table for true believers. And if you are truly sorry for your sins, and if you sincerely desire to follow Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, you're now invited to come with gladness, with joy, to the table of the Lord. If I may invite the elders to come forward.
Faces to
take, eat, remember, and believe that all your sins have been forgiven with the body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
the baby in the womb of Elizabeth jumped for joy. And Jesus says, I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. And Jesus says, take, drink, and believe that all your sins have been forgiven in Jesus' name. Psalm 103, just in closing, Psalm 103 looks at all the things that take place in the life of a person, but then his heart and his thoughts are turned to God. And the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And there's a sense of joy in what he says. Would you stand as we close with prayer and receive his benediction? Father, fill us now full with the fullness of your joy. Whatever in our life threatens to steal our joy, fill us full. Fill us full to overflowing, that nothing in this world and nothing in our own hearts can steal the joy that you have planted so deep in us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And as you leave to serve the Lord, may the grace and the peace and the mercy and the love and the joy of Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest upon you now and fill you full with the fullness of joy. And all God's people said, amen.